Blog Talk Radio. We want to say good evening. Thank you for listening to the Wise Women Media Radio Show. And we want to thank our sponsors, which are the Hoodoo Blog, Daughters of Isis, Round Tree 7, and Here Be Monsters. And Gwen's on the line with me. Say hi, Gwen.
I'm waving hi. How are you doing tonight?
Okay. And what did you think of that song?
It's a really wonderful song.
She is absolutely one of the most amazing performers I've ever seen. She's really famous for those very, very long, drawn-out vocalized notes. And she did that at the Tropical Heat Wave about 2 years ago, but I can't remember the song. And it's on video somewhere, but absolutely amazing. I mean, she did the note for so long that people started screaming. It was like, lady, are you going to come up for air anytime soon? But she's amazing.
We used to have this wonderful place down in Miami Beach on the water side. Not the she Miami Beach, but on Miami Beach. And they had a gospel brunch that served mimosas, and you paid $20, endless mimosas. And they had this wonderful group of entertainers that did gospel and blues for brunch down there. It was just so worth the drive and so wonderful. And I haven't thought of it in years until I just listened to that.
Yeah, I think her song was used by Hillary Clinton's campaign, but it's just a wonderful standalone song. And it's, you know, I always pass that song on to somebody I know that's having a really rough time. I'll go listen to this and, you know, get inspired by these lyrics, you know, because she's pretty amazing. But so we've got a lot of news to cover. There is so much stuff going on. You just recently looked up the latest information on the Trayvon Martin case, and what have you been able to find out about that?
There's two ends to that. The Trayvon Martin news that is a bit upsetting, but also it's not upsetting because of the lack of charges. It's upsetting because the lack of charges and all of the pogroms in Sanford and wondering what's going to happen. When you had Roseanne on last week, I took a moment in there and I talked about how I knew what I knew of Sanford, Florida, having gone to school up there. And it ain't changed in a week. It's like, have you ever heard the term Leisureville?
Yeah.
It's like a retirement community, or down here, I forget the name, and somebody will hit me on the head for this one. There's a Jewish retirement community down here that's all over the place. It's like Sanford is the Leisureville for the Klan, you know? I mean, and we have so many people, especially civil rights leaders, who have gone down there to bang the drum and get some justice, and hopefully things will be, you know, that's the thing I worry about, or I was thinking of. And then you had said that the Trayvon Martin case had news breaking. Well, the only thing I had seen, actually, because I've been out and about all day, was there's a pretty good piece on Huffington Post about the sloppy police work by the Sanford police. They didn't do their job, and they didn't do their job before. And the case they used concerned a young black man there, too, who was killed in Sanford and, you know, under questionable circumstances. And the thing is that while all of this is going on, it's across the country, people are you know, having discussions. It's coming up all over the place, little communities, the discussion about Trayvon Martin. And it's edgy. I'm just kind of nervous about it. You know what I'm saying? Now the news breaking says that basically the attorney, the state's attorney, cannot make a first-degree murder charge on Zimmerman because it was not a premeditated murder. They can't prove that. Well, what can they do? They haven't done anything. And frankly, the state of Florida, the state attorney from Florida sent down by the governor of the state of Florida, I mean, you know, I don't really see them as competent people, plainly. I just don't. Do you? Do you see them as competent?
I'm not sure what's going on, but I just opened up an article, the latest article, Trayvon Martin death won't go to the Florida grand jury. And the little tagline underneath says, Special Prosecutor Angela Corey says she will not bring the Trayvon Martin shooting death before a grand jury. Well, I want to know why the hell not. I mean,
because
everything that I've seen about this and everything that I've heard, including the police 911 calls, which I did hear, they were broadcasted within days of the killing, says that, you know, it was premeditated, it was murder in cold blood. The guy was on the phone saying what he was going to do and stalking him down, stalking this young kid down and then shooting him. So I don't know how much, I don't know what it would take then to prosecute any other murder in the state of Florida. What would it take?
Tomorrow, Seminole County is supposed to have a grand jury form, and the question is supposed to be brought to them. Now, that was state's attorney, so that was out of the jurisdiction, I'm thinking, of Seminole County. Also, please remember, the Department of Justice is also investigating this. The Department of the DOJ, that's national. You know, so
right.
you really don't know what's going to happen. But all of this hang fire seems dangerous to me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
Ms. Corey, who is a Duval County state attorney, told the Miami Herald in an interview last month that she did not expect to meet a grand jury and would likely make the decision on whether or not to charge Zimmerman by herself. So there's a difference there. And this is a quote, I'm reading this off an article, I always lean towards moving forward without needing the grand jury in a case like this, Corey said at the time. I foresee us being able to make a decision and to move on our own. On Monday, her office confirmed that no grand jury would be used in the case. Her office pointed out that the decision to take the... Oh, great. I'm going to get an advertisement for the damn Miami Herald. Right on my screen as I'm reading. Please. You know, these little technicalities. It should not be taken as an indication of which way she's going to decide. And we have to remember that the Department of Justice also has something to say. I don't believe Reverend Sharpton's still in town, is he?
I haven't heard anything about him being here for a couple of days or several days or last week.
He's come down, been banging the drum, and I think there's everything right in what he's doing. He's not doing the wrong thing at all. And couple on top of that the week before last, he lost his mother, so things are pretty acute for Reverend Sharpton. So I doubt whether or not he would, vacate. Seeking justice, nobody's going to vacate it. But when it hangs fire for so damn long and this guy walks free in a known territory of Florida that basically sees women as chattel and people of color as subhuman, I mean, that's the I'm not saying everybody does, but I'm saying that that's the reputation that's getting planted there.
Hmm.
You know?
Right. I don't know
the
what to
police.
I've never been to the area. That's one part of Florida. I don't even think I've driven through there. I don't know. But I've been to Orlando. And how far is it from Orlando?
It's about a 40-minute from Orlando. It's up just off of the edge of the orange groves, over to the east. It's a community. My closest friend in prep school, her family lived there. Her dad had the biggest ranch at the time in the state of Florida. He used to fly a little plane over it to take care of things. And her brothers and her father, and now this is when I was like 13, 14 years old. That was 68, 69. They used to come and go from the house wearing, I thought her father was John Wayne for the longest time because he would wear a six gun on his, on his, you know, just like a you know, Western movie.
Right. Oh my
but,
God.
But yeah, that was the norm. And like I had said last week, you know, Sue and I went to school together at a place called Howie in the Hills, which was at the end of the Turnpike at the time, up in the middle of the orange groves. Little spit of a town, but it had this, you know, boarding school, but it was boarding from grade 7 through high school. And that's why I was there so young. And we used to travel to away games, and we'd drive through these wonderful roads that took us through to the middle of the orange groves. And they would pull the bus over to the side of the road because they'd put flagmen in the middle of the road and have our bus driver, you know, go over all these folks in white robes and hoods, and they'd board the bus, they'd bang on the door, and that would scare the hell out of you. And the bus driver would open the door because finally someone said, "We're not going to harm you. We have information for you, and you better open up if you know what's good for you." That's what they would say, "If you know what's good for you." That was the famous line, "Hey, we know what's good for you." And they would board the bus and pass out tracts of printed information that was just, I found some a few years back when I moved out of Florida and up to Boston, I found one that I kept, and it was the kind of vile, hateful stuff you would think it was. They had no right to do what they did, but it was, you know, that part of Florida. Lots of folks, I mean, you know, it's like Grand Dragons go to retire in Sanford, you know. That was one of the things you would hear. So that's where I'm coming from on that. That's my experience with it. That's why, it may not be as prevalent at all now, Anita, you know, at all. However, that's what the families that have lived their generations in that area, that's, you know, a lot of them came right out of there.
Wow. That's, I still feel for that family. It doesn't look like any justice is coming anytime soon. It looks like everything that's happening is going to be one huge fight, and I just sometimes wonder how much of this is by design and how much of this was created. When all they needed to do was arrest this man and get justice for this young boy and his family. It just doesn't seem right.
Well, the president of the local branch of the NAACP, a man named Turner Clayton, said that the Sanford police are notorious for mishandling investigations and not doing any follow-ups on various leads. They're saying that they can't get any leads. It's like, we don't have anything for you now. They basically have ignored the the shooting death or stabbing death of African-American citizens before. And I'm quoting directly from now over at Huffington Post, a Sergeant David Morgenstern, a Sanford police spokesman, declined to respond to questions about Trayvon Martin's shooting or allegations of sloppy work in other cases. We're not going to be able to comment on any of that. Somebody has to bring, this is what I think. I think that somebody has to bring some kind of class action suit against the city and the police of Sanford, Florida. I think that's what's got to, you know, I'm very tired of hearing the Deep South, and I do consider Florida part of the Deep South. I'm sick of hearing us marginalized and isolated as lazy or shiftless or slovenly or white trash or whatever. And I think what it takes is there's plenty of decent, fine, and I'd say a majority of decent, fine, white and other people of other colors that live in the Sanford area. And I think it's up to them to bring it to bear and for the NAACP perhaps to actually create some kind of get-together with the ACLU, bring some kind of class action to bear on this, because you've got a guy whose father was a magistrate or judge, usually up there they're magistrates, and he's out talking. I mean, what a fool. Any attorney would tell them to keep their mouths shut, not to get involved in a newscaster being on CNN before any charges have been brought. But obviously, these people are rebuking all of this, Anita, from my thinking. You tell me what you think, but they absolutely don't think they're going to be arrested for anything. They're just doing some whitewashing.
Right, right. They're exempt. They're exempt. They're above the law. And I don't understand why that is.
Well, that's what it seems like. At the same time, as I said, I'm very tired of hearing that the Deep South, it's like Bill Maher playing that, you know, that piece of film made by, I don't need to denigrate it that much, the film made by Nancy Pelosi's daughter about the intelligence level of Republicans in Mississippi, please. Oh, God. It's like, you know, first of all, it was only 46% of the Republicans that were, you know, coming off on that kind of a note, you know, uninformed, thinking that Obama is a Muslim. But my goodness, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't that sort of fan out to lots of Republicans in Minnesota and Massachusetts and Maine and California? I mean, good grief. I mean, I saw an article about 3 days ago that I read that was extraordinary, that claimed that your intelligence value is much lower if you're listening to Republican policy and Republican information. Did I put that right, Anita?
I think so.
I don't want to be nasty. I mean, my mom was a Republican. Dwight D. Eisenhower was a Republican, you know. I mean, there are lots of Republicans in this country. There are a lot of Republicans, including Eisenhower's granddaughter, who are decent, upright, good people that are not the clown show we're watching.
Yeah,
right,
I've
now
got great and Republicans that have been great environmental people that have been on our side in regards to the environment, which really kind of surprised a lot of people. Didn't surprise me. I just said it really a lot of people that didn't expect that, you know, and didn't expect people that were Republican to care about the environment and to fight for it. So
they're real conservatives, and wasn't Rachel Carson a Republican? I'm not sure.
So.
I don't want to get whacked around by anybody, but the point is that, you know, we're talking about a few people, but we keep getting, and this goes to bear, the thing about, you know, how stupid the Deep South is, or how, you know, territorially all these different, marginalizations, whether it's Republicans talking about liberals, or it's the liberal media talking about, you know, Republicans who are basically uneducated in certain places. Lots of uneducated Democrats, too.
It's true. Very true.
It really is. There's that. You know, I got to say, in 2008, I mean, I worked very hard to see this president elected. And the day of voting, I remember going and giving people rides to vote. And I lived only about three blocks away from a whole sort of enclave of elder African-American people that had retired, and many of them were alone, but they owned little homes, you know, and they needed rides to go and vote. And I went to pick up this one gentleman, and I'll never forget, I drove to his house, and I made sure it was the right place, and I got out, knocked on the door, and he came to the door, he had a walker. He looked at me, and it scared him, and I realized it scared him because I was white. And I said immediately, I said, "Sir, my name is Gwen. I'm here to take you to vote," right, you know. And voting was only about, oh, gee, maybe five blocks away, but he needed the ride, you know. And so I had one of those Mazdas, you know, the van kind that slid the door open. It was easier for him to get into. And he sat behind me in the seat in the second row, and I could see him staring at me like, "Oh Lord, what, you know, what's going on here?" And I got him over there, and a couple of the ladies who were standing out front, two of them he knew, and they came to help him go. And I think he was talking to him. One was my letter carrier, and she's a good friend. And she was, "Oh, no, she's your driver," and, you know, it's like that. He came out. It took him quite a while. There was a lot of voting that day. He came out. He got in the car. I must have sat there for 40 minutes. He got in the car, and everything was nice. I said, "You ready to go home?" And he just was, like, nodding his head, and I wondered, uh-oh, is something wrong? But I looked, and tears were coming down his face.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You there?
I am. Story always gets to me, even though it's mine. But here's the thing. The thing is, we all had such high hopes.
Yeah, we did.
We all knew miracles could happen. And I have to tell you, even though things seem so out of whack, so far out of whack, I'm going to tell you, I think that miracles can still happen, Anita. I think we can't lose with everything that's going on. We can't lose that awareness. You know, you and I are politically savvy. We've made it a part of our lives to change the leadership of this country, because it's also a part of our spiritual expression and who we are right down in our core.
Right.
And I think that we have to remember that even though it seems as though it's gone so horribly astray and this awful, awful, terrible thing has happened, in Sanford, which looks like it's, you know, injustice just laying there. It's not. Something will come of it that will make things better, you know? I think it's the only way that we can step back at a point like this when it seems like nothing's being done. And how could it be so unjust? And I can't imagine what young Mr. Martin's mother and father are going through.
I can't imagine that either. That's what they've been through. That was like the ultimate sacrifice. I mean, to outlive, you know, your own children, that's really just, I can't even imagine.
And to have it happen in such a way, but I do think that some kind of good will come of this in Martin's name, you know? And whatever it is, it's there. It's up on the road, and people are still marching towards it. So, like, if the state attorney is trying to beg off on it, there is the Department of Justice who said they were going to look into it. I haven't heard anything. Have you?
Mm-mm. I hope his parents get to see this. Whatever happens as far as how it turns into the good, I just hope that his parents have the opportunity to see that, because, you know, they deserve good and better things than what they've gotten. Right now, for them, it's just one big fight. And I'm sure that they're disillusioned and tired, and I'm sure they wish it would end, you know, where they could get some justice. But I've known a few families in their situation, and I don't think they're going to rest until they have justice. Just not going to happen.
In quoting this article over at HuffPo, among other things, George Zimmerman, 28, was not subject to a criminal background check until after he was released from custody. A possible racial slur muttered by Zimmerman on the 911 call was overlooked. Nearly a week passed before important witnesses were interviewed by the police. Perhaps most crucially, investigators failed to access Martin's cell phone records for weeks. And those records revealed that before he was shot, the teen was on the phone with his girlfriend, who said she overheard crucial moments of the encounter between Zimmerman and Martin. The mistakes that have been made, said Andrew Scott, former chief of the Boca Raton Police Department and national policing consultant. They were such rudimentary aspects of an investigation. Well, anybody who's worked as a photographer on print news knows just how screwed up this whole thing has been. It's fueled the fires, and the credibility of the Sanford police is in the crapper right now, really.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, shoot. There's just there's the breaking news being that the state's attorney can't cannot put Zimmerman into a grand jury and indict him. You know.
There's something wrong with that.
You know, she can't affix premeditation. Hell, I know just scant facts of the case, and I could affix premeditation to it by what the girlfriend has said that was going on that she could hear on the phone. I could affix. And there's an old saying, and my sister was telling me, you know, that you can indict a ham sandwich. It ain't hard to indict. If they indicted, perhaps Mr. Zimmerman would be sitting in a jail. And I don't know if his mother's name is Martin, But Trayvon's parents would have a measure of comfort in that.
Right.
It's been handled like shit. It's horrible. It's fucked up. It's sheesh. And the beat goes on.
I agree. It's something that I never thought. Well, you know, Roseanne talked about this, and she said, you know, the things. I mean, we've talked about it. You and I have talked about it. How it's almost like they want civil unrest in our cities. They want us to be fighting one another. It's like they're creating the situation so that exact same thing will happen. And I can't think of any other reason why they wouldn't have made an arrest, especially by now, you know. But they refused to do it. So it's the same thing that happened during Katrina, when they wanted the people to be locked up in the auditorium, you know, and. They figured if they did that, I really feel that they were trying to create a race war at that time, but it didn't happen the way they expected it to. And some of those people got away.
You know,
some of them died, but most of them got away. But and most of them that when given the opportunity, were going to work together and try to help one another, which,
yeah,
you know, the powers that be just didn't expect that.
Well, not only that, but you had a bunch of people coming in who saw what was going on, and no matter the weather or anything, started working towards getting to them. People like Sean Penn. People like
Sean Penn. There was a whole, you know, that was now I was talking about Katrina, but you're talking about, I think, the earthquake in Haiti. Same situation.
I was talking about Katrina. Okay.
Because I didn't realize he was there. I knew Harry Connick and a lot of other people were there, though.
So,
were definitely too.
When Katrina hit, I was out of communications at a commune in upstate Massachusetts doing a workshop. And my back went out really awfully. Now, my teacher, his grandfather, Tommy, he taught me that when the Earth Mother is in real pain, you will feel it in your body, and you'll know the difference. Now, my back went out really horribly. Since I quit smoking a couple of years ago, I've gained some weight. But I didn't have that kind of weight on me then, that, you know, my back could be out because, you know, I've gone too far type of thing. My back just went out. And I couldn't figure it out, and I was in real pain. And then I came home, and I got on the television, and I remember watching an interview with Sean Penn, who said, "I'm getting down there now." And we found out that Katrina had hit. And we were looking at those pictures of people on their rooftops, you know?
Right.
It was incredible. But my back went out, I know for a fact, because, you know, the earth was crying out, you know?
Right.
When it
manifested physically for you. Yeah.
It did. It absolutely did. But the South is really a hot spot, isn't it? Now we have a crisis down here with the Gulf. Everybody is ignoring it. And to marginalize and isolate the Deep South for hideous political commentary like Bill Maher puts out and stuff, and to have an unacknowledged crisis by every politician running for office right now, it seems that way to me, is just hideous. It's hideous.
Yeah, it's the blackout of what's happening in the Gulf is, I mean, people don't believe it. And even, you know, even people that come down here that I know, you know, and I'm warning them, telling them about things. And what are they doing? They're going right to the restaurant and eating shrimp.
Yeah.
I'm going, you know, did you hear anything I told you? Or you just don't want to believe it. or you just don't want to acknowledge.
People don't want any more than people want to believe that the economy is. If people want to believe the economy is getting better, but a lot of the thinking people who actually, you know, vote, I think that
Right. They're
beginning to understand that they're being lied to, that the numbers are being jockeyed around because it's an election year. I think they're looking at world news and going, what the hell is going on in Western Europe, our financial, you know, partners, and seeing everything that's happening over there and thinking, do they think we're that stupid? We can't see. I really do think people are waking up to that. Occupy is helping that along a great deal, bringing awareness up. But, I mean, do people really think that the economy hasn't got some problems? I mean, good grief.
Many people are believing only what they're told. And they're, you know, I'm glad, you know, I feel that by getting rid of the television set that I really liberated my mind. I feel much better. I mean, I like watching television. I can't lie and say I don't. I do.
Right.
But, boy, they don't call those things programs for nothing. After a while, after I started to realize this wasn't edifying stuff, it wasn't stuff that helped me. It was more like a time waster, like a filler, you know.
Yeah.
I got rid of the television,
book.
And then,
yeah.
Wow, what a liberating experience. There's other things I can be doing. And now I have time to do them. I'm not coordinating my life around a television schedule. You know?
Well, you're using your imagination more. And when you begin to stretch and grow your imagination again, you problem solve with quicker ease and comfort, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but I definitely have found it to be just an amazing, freeing experience to not be. Now, once in a while on the cable, on Hulu, because we don't have cable, what I will do is I'll watch a program on Hulu, you know, something like Saturday Night Live or something. But I'm always doing something else when I'm doing that. You know, I'm knitting or something. I'm doing something. Because if I was just going to sit there and watch it, I'd feel pretty friggin' guilty, to tell you the truth. I feel like I was wasting time. And
I really,
if I'm going to watch TV, I want to watch something that's funny, that makes me laugh, that makes me think.
Yes, that gives you joy. I was listening to Barbara Hand Cloud did an interview with Red Ice Hendrick over there in Switzerland. And she had said that, now I've been watching, the message is that we're breaking down all the old memes and such. And she said, boy, there's nothing like Hollywood or, you know, television to keep people locked into their social patterns. And she said everybody loves Downton Abbey. And this is a big one that's going on with Masterpiece Theater right now. Have you heard about Downton Abbey with Maggie Smith?
Oh, no. Tell me.
Shirley MacLaine, it's a period piece about the 1800s and the end of the 1800s. A really well-done piece, a well-done drama. But the point is that, and used to be, we would get stories that would tell us, you know, the old tale of how, you know, the class structure there that is way above everything and then everyone else serves them. But this one is telling, you know, the upstairs, downstairs, there's as much story wrapped around the servants. And there's also, from what I can tell, too, and what I've read of history and such, personally, I think that they're being very honest with how close certain servants become in families. I mean, you know, on those large peerage families, as it were. But this is a very popular show right now. And it comforts people because it's that old structure that says that the Lord in his manner is going to make everything flow, and it'll flow from the top down, and everybody will be taken care of. You follow where I went there?
Right.
And basically, that's what the Republicans are trying to sell. Those are the goods they're trying to bring to market for these for all the time now. And they do it very poorly. I mean, it really, they're a clown show, aren't they?
I just really see that almost everybody in power is the same. It seems like even the Democrats are, and the Democrats, you know, will mimic a lot and spend the same money and authorize the same policies, and you know, I just don't see that there's too much difference between any of them, and that's why, you know, I think, like Roseanne said, all those old ways, those are over. It's all done. It's all finished.
It really is. She's really quite right, because the point that nobody is getting, and that the politicians, and I'm shocked to, I can't tell you that people like Hillary and Obama do not assent to this. The fact is that, you know, their children will not be living a quality of life. In fact, their lives are in jeopardy because of the profiteering and the corruption and basically the destruction of the planet. You know, I mean, we're talking about the green edge, just the way that Roseanne was talking about. So I really like her for that. I fully endorse her, too. I'm behind her 100%. I've been recording her little television video blurbs, and I'm playing them back on the take a look at the board there. You'll see a Roseanne moment down below. Push that button and see what it says.
Okay, I'm going. Is it in the audio? Oh, yeah, Roseanne, 1 minute, yeah. And I looked up some quotes today. I was pretty surprised. She has some really funny quotes. But there's very few political quotes. And I thought, well, where did the, you know, all her funniness and her humor kind of swallowed up the political quotes. I wonder if somebody's going to gather all that stuff together, because I loved it when she, you know, just last week when she was on the show and she was talking about everybody fighting with one another, and she's going, just stop it, stop it, stop it. And I thought,
yeah,
that's a mom. That's a mom.
Yeah.
That's a grandma. You know, she's going, she's seeing all the craziness, the silliness, the fighting, the stuff that doesn't get you anywhere, and she goes, stop it, stop it, stop it. and I thought, that's what we have to tell these men. I mean, she said that too. She said, how can we entrust the world to men who can't even close the milk carton and put it back in the fridge after they've drank from it, and they can't even pick up their own fucking socks? I mean, come on.
Yeah, but see, the point with that is that most people will look at it and say, hey, yeah, she's right. That's good, but she's a comedian. She's not a candidate. That's why the serious stuff that she has to say is as valid or more so, because she really has said some profound stuff. She's got it. Go ahead and push that button. Take a break. Break your show. Take a little break and push the button.
Want me to do it now, the Roseanne?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on.
Great.
Will it just play right over us?
Well, yeah, it'll play.
Okay,
go
here
ahead.
Goes. Okay. I'm just going to play the play button. Here goes. This is the first time I've done this, so hang on.
It really gripes my rear when I hear people saying, well, who cares what Roseanne Barr or some other Hollywood actor has to say, who thinks anybody cares about her opinions. Well, I have a question for those people, and I want to get right in their face and ask it, too. Who do I have to be? I'm an American citizen. That's who I am. an American citizen who is very, very concerned about how everything is upside down and makes absolutely no sense. That's who I am.
Wow. Which, you know, that was in one of her latest videos. In fact, did you used to watch
Roseanne?
Yeah,
That's where I got it. I went over and, oh, my goodness, look at that. Krell is in the chat room. Hi, David. How are you? I always do.
Oh,
that.
I don't see him in the chat room. I don't see anybody in the chat room.
Oh.
Is somebody there?
Yeah, Krell, which is David Williams.
Oh, okay.
And this will be a great moment for Gwen to go, thank you, Anita, wise woman, for having me on. And please let me do a little plug for Roundtree7, the number 7.com blog.
Yeah, we were going to end early tonight, so I'm going to let you do your spiel. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, we're all sponsored by Roundtree 7, and that's the number 7.com. And Daughters of Isis, the ancestor of Romicology. And also the Hoodoo blog. And I can't remember who else. We're also supporting here at Monsters. We're supporting Roseanne Barr 2012.
Yeah, definitely support, and definitely, people out there, go vote. Vote for her. If she's not on your ballot, write her in. And insist that if they try to tell you that at your voting places, tell them you have a right to write a candidate in. So you don't have to vote just Republican or Democrat. You can write a candidate in. They cannot give you a provisional ballot for that. They have to give you a paper ballot. So so do your thing and vote. And vote. Don't vote. Hold your nose and vote for the lesser of two evils.
That's not voting.
Yeah, vote. That's voting out of fear. Vote with your heart and vote with your conscience. If you think that Jill Stein is your person, vote for Jill Stein.
Yep.
I encourage everybody to investigate the Green Party and third parties in general, because like Roseanne said, did any of these parties or did Obama give us what we wanted last time? Did he bring us health care? Did he end the war? And the answer to everything that she listed, and there was a lot of questions there, and the answer to all of them was no. We got to do things different this time. So, you know, we need everybody to be on the same page. So we're going down to the last 6 minutes. I think we're going to end it early because I've been up since 2:30 in the morning last night. So it's time for me to go to bed.
Do me a little favor. I always try to do this once. I break up my show with little breaks, and I use the recordings. If you look down, all the way down to the bottom, you'll see Wiki.
Wiki commercial?
Yeah.
You want me to play that?
Push that
one. Here goes.
Yeah. 20 secure phones to assist in staying anonymous. $5,000. Fighting legal cases across 5 countries. $1 million. Upkeep of servers in over 40 countries. $200,000. Donations lost due to banking blockade. $15 million. Added cost due to house arrest. $500,000. Watching the world change as a result of your work. Priceless. There are some people who don't like change. For everyone else, there's WikiLeaks. To find out more about WikiLeaks financial blockade and how to donate, please visit wikileaks.org/support.html.
Love it. Love it. Absolutely love it.
I don't every show, but I try to get that in there because we need to support Julian Assange. We also need to support all of the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Anon. All of
and
them.
Occupy. Occupy no matter where the Occupy is, support the movement. And I for one, have committed to no work, no nothing on May 1st. So,
right, we do.
It should be a workers' day. It should be a fun day. It should be a day when people can visit their local Occupy encampment and hang out for a while.
The GA. Yeah, attend the GA. It is a massive worldwide strike, a general strike. It's also the anniversary of Daughters of Isis in 1991, May Day, we opened.
Wow, that's cool. That's very cool. And Beltane, of course.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
Yeah,
thank you.
Now I should be down your way checking out the Michael Franti concert next month, hopefully. I got to look up that date because I wasn't sure when that would be. But I will definitely get in touch with you and let you know about that. But okay, well, let's close it for tonight. We're going down into the last, I guess, the last 3 minutes. And we said thank you to everybody. And we will have a guest next week, not sure who it will be. But will it be in the same time, same place? And thank you to our listeners. And have a great week. And thanks, Gwen, for being on the show with me.
Oh, you're welcome. I will be listening same bat time on the same bat channel.
Okay. Night, everybody.
Good night,
Anita.